We've talked a lot about the importance of building community and having friends, and we've talked about how to make new friends, and we've talked about all of those kinds of connection points. But in honor of National Friendship Day, Eric and I are going to talk today about something I'm not sure we've spent a lot of time talking about, and that's some ways to be sure that you maintain existing friendships. Because like all relationships, friendships take work and attention and nurturing. So if you've been thinking about friends you need to reach out to, if you've been thinking about deepening the connection you have with the friends in your life, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
Guess who I was in contact with today?
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays?
The baseball player?
I know who Willie Mays is. My dad was a coach. I speak sport.
I don't even know if he was alive. Okay, so
I don't think he's alive.
Tom Brady. He's alive.
He is alive. I wouldn't mind being in touch with Tom Brady. Oh. But no, I don't know Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
I guess if you're just going to list every sports figure's name that you can think of, we're going to be here for a long time, so maybe I should just tell you.
Martina Navratilova.
No, but I could be in touch with Martina Navratilova.
Okay.
If I set my mind to it.
Probably like 2 degrees of separation.
Just one, actually.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, we digress.
Indeed. Do you want to know or you don't want to know?
I am dying to know. Hit me.
Jody.
Oh, how's Jody?
She's really good, gearing up to take her daughter to college.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're good. So she crossed my radar. Gosh, I can't even remember why. And do you know what I did?
What'd you do?
I reached out. I was like, Jody, it's been too long. How are you? So we actually have a whole catch-up call scheduled for tomorrow. So we exchanged some text messages, kind of got the quick catch-up. But tomorrow we'll get the whole catch up.
Oh, that's so nice.
I don't think I've spoken with her since they moved to, I don't know, Arizona or California or someplace across the country.
You know, on the one hand, when people move, it's really easy to lose track of them. On the other hand, with all the technology and social media and blah, 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 it shouldn't be that hard to stay in touch.
I actually think it's one of the few things that's good about social media.
Right. Definitely. Like, I got in touch with my friend Dave a week or two ago. And, like, you know, I know that one kid's going off to college, another kid graduated college, he looks well. You know, you get some insight, at least, into what your friends are doing. So when you do reconnect, you have that foundation. Though maybe, you know, if you did reconnect with people after a long gap and you didn't know anything, it would be really interesting to get, you get a lot more from the catch up. But I guess having some insight also gives you questions to ask and details to drill down into.
I also think you'd be just less likely to reach out cold. I think if not for social media and not for the ability to text, would I have just picked up the phone and called Jody? So let me give everybody a little bit of context. So Jody and her husband and 2 kids briefly lived right around the corner from us while they were building their house. We met one night at the ice cream truck. So I don't know if this is still where everybody, do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's where we met. So I don't know if everybody lives in communities, like if this is everywhere, but we still have ice cream trucks that drive around with their bells ringing, and you can walk out of your house and wave your arm and they'll stop and you can get ice cream.
Oh my, I was working in the yard last night. I was actually cleaning our grill.
Thankless
job. Like 6 in the evening, hot, sweaty, and I heard that ice cream truck coming down the street, and it took every ounce of self-control I had not to go running down the driveway, Mr. Ice Cream Man, Mr. Ice Cream Man.
So we met Jody and her family at the ice cream truck. They lived around the corner. Then they moved across town. And then a few years later, they moved across the country. And we've been in very, very casual touch. It's got to be 4 years.
At least.
But she's somebody just that I've always really liked. We were not best friends, but we were good community friends. So it I think is apropos of what we wanted to talk a little bit about today, which is in honor of National Friendship Day, talking a little bit about how to maintain friendships, right? We've talked a bunch in the past about how to find new friends.
Hi, I'm Eric. Want to play?
Exactly. For anybody who doesn't know that reference, there may even be a podcast titled Hi, I'm Mason. Want to play? But it's a story from our son's very young years. But the question is also, how do you maintain friendships over time?
And you are much better at this than I am, though, you know, I manage to maintain some core friendships, but it's hard.
Why? What's hard about it? I mean, I think it's an important point, but you find it hard. I think most people do. So talk a little bit about why.
I think part of it is, A, you think there's always going to be another day. I can reach out and talk to him tomorrow. I can ping him tomorrow. Oh, I haven't spoken to Chris in ages. I can talk to him next week. It just seems like there's always busy stuff going on that you don't have to do it, number one. And then with certain friends, no problem. I can pick up the phone. I can reach out and touch someone. As the old commercials used to say, people of a certain age will get that. Millennials, never mind. But as far as some people, it might be a little awkward now, like too much time has passed, too much distance. So it can be hard, it can be challenging.
That's really interesting, because as I think about that, I don't think I suffer from that thinking around. I definitely suffer from the, I'll reach out next week. I did it, so here's just a crazy thing that happens a lot, but Saturday, I thought, wow, I have not spoken with my sister Susie in weeks. So she lives in California. We don't talk all the time, but we do get on the phone every couple of months to catch up. And I thought, oh, I haven't spoken to Susie in months. And instead of picking up the phone, I actually put it on my list of things to do on Sunday, because I was afraid it would fly out of my brain. And then Sunday, I got a text message from her saying, free for a phone catch up.
Oh, that's freaky.
I know, that's the universe.
That's psychic sister stuff.
Psychic sister stuff. So I totally get the, I'll do it tomorrow. But I don't actually really get the too much time has passed. That's funny. Where does that come from?
My deep-seated insecurity.
No. I mean, do you think you won't have anything to talk about? Do you think, like, what is the too much time has passed, so therefore?
Well, I'm also thinking about some conversations we had with our daughter, but sort of I'm thinking too much time has passed, so it might seem weird, but if I was having this conversation with our daughter, I would say, well, so much time has passed that they would be so excited to hear from me, or I'd be excited to hear from them if they reached out to me, because it has been so long.
I think that's pretty much how I think. Like, when I reached out to Jody, I haven't spoken to her in literally a couple of years.
But yeah, and there are certain friends that I can do that with, but certain friends that I don't.
Then are they really friends?
I don't know. If they fall down in the forest and nobody hears it, are they your friend?
Exactly. If you're too uncomfortable to reach out, are they really a friend?
I think certainly they could have been. And probably, again, it's more a reflection of me. And I'll speak in sort of generalities? Yeah, that.
General stuff?
General stuff. Or I'll speak to myself, but it's my own insecurities, not a measure of the friendship.
I rarely think, oh, this person's not going to want to hear from me. I usually think, oh, I'm so interested and excited to know what's going on with so-and-so.
And I usually think, oh, I'm so interested in telling so-and-so what's going on with me.
And maybe therein lies the problem.
I'm totally kidding.
Ish.
No, I am kidding. I do like to hear what they're up to.
No, you totally do.
So, all right. So how do we maintain these friendships? Is friendship like a customer in the business world? You know how they say it's easier to keep a customer than it is to find a new one? I guess it's easier to maintain friendships than it is to start a new one, right?
I don't know. I suppose. Yes and no. You know, in the friendship workshop I do, we talk quite a bit about different types of friendships and relationships that fill different needs that you have in your life. So, and there are limits to how many meaningful relationships you can maintain. So I think it depends a little bit on the quality of the relationship. Mm. Not every friendship is worth maintaining over time necessarily.
Oh, 100%. But the ones that are, so how do we maintain them?
Well, the first is exactly, I think, what we've been talking about, which is, I'm laughing because like it sounds so flippant obvious. You actually have to make the effort to connect with this person on some kind of regular basis.
So we use the expression go first when you're making new friends. Like if you meet someone at the, school pickup line, someone has to go first to invite for coffee. So that's where we get that expression. Is it sort of the same thing when maintaining friendships? Like you sort of have to go again as opposed to go first.
Yeah. If you sit around and you wait, chances are pretty good that you are not going to. People are busy and people are, dare I say, lazy.
You can say it.
Or giving more credit, people suffer from a little bit of what you suffer from or what you described, which is, would it be weird if I reached out? Has too much time passed?
Right. So I guess if you are in touch more frequently or regularly, it's not weird.
Well, it's also like how much time? I mean, should I have not reached out to Jody today because it's been literally 4 years since we've spoken?
No, but you don't have the same insecurities I do.
So, finding a way to stay in regular communication. And just to be clear, the happy birthday Facebook message is not adequate.
Your 1 out of 206 HBD little noisemaker emoji isn't enough to make a connection?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
It's not. What is remembering something important to that person and that friend. And if that means putting it on your calendar, then it's worth doing that. For instance, the anniversary of a loved one's passing. Mm. That is a really nice time to reach out to somebody. And you are not responsible for remembering that your old friend's father passed away on October 11th. But if you make a note of that and you reach out on October 11th and say, hey, Susie, I know this is a challenging day. I'm here if you need to talk or if you'd like to talk or whatever it is, however you would reach out to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that. Reaching out in a meaningful way about something that's important to them.
Yeah, if I had been doing that with a lot of people, I would have less of this insecurity about reaching out to them, for sure.
So making an effort to stay in regular communication, step one.
Okay. Step two.
We have been running virtual teams for a really long time. We had a virtual team of, I think, 14 or 16 in our last business, and everybody was virtual. Before it was cool, before COVID, before virtual work was a thing, we ran a virtual team. And one thing that we learned early on is that while you can run a virtual team and you can form working relationships. And our businesses have always been focused on deeper personal relationships among the team members. You got to be together from time to time. There is no substitute for occasional, periodic times together. Do you agree?
I totally agree. And I have one friend who I'm not super close to, but we get together for lunch or breakfast not even once a year, but maybe once every 18 months, once every 2 years. But that getting together in person helps that relationship stay more intact than the occasional text or the occasional social media post or comment or thought sharing. But that personal connection makes a big difference.
And shared experiences. I think about your climbing friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this cohort of guys with whom you climbed. You had these sort of intense shared experiences, and then you could go years without actually seeing them. But still, you still count those guys among your friends.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Brian in probably 8 years, maybe 10.
And you consider him a friend?
Yeah, like, and a good friend.
Yeah.
Like, he's just such a great guy.
You should go see Brian.
I had that thought. So
maybe they'll come up to here.
On an RV trip.
So time, actual time together and shared experiences. I think about, so here's, I mean, a crazy story. My best friend, when we were six, four to like eight, we were inseparable. 8 years old, that's 50 flipping years ago. And she moved to California and I didn't see her for 50 years, 45 years. And we went hiking together last year.
That's crazy.
Crazy. And talk about reinvigorating a friendship and a relationship when you go off and you have some kind of shared experience. We shared a hotel room for like 4 days.
That's crazy.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it was a little crazy.
But, you know, going back to my climbing friends, we have that shared experience. And I shared hotel room with that guy. We made memories. That's what's
Do you
really
want to tell everybody
important.
About the hot tub?
No, I don't want to tell people about the hot tub. What happened in Colorado stays in Colorado. Let me just put it that way. So, you know, having these hobbies and activities and sharing these experiences with friends like that is another really good way to maintain those connections.
Okay, next, aligned with those things. And this one's hard. It seems to be so hard for people. Make the effort to plan those things. So we talked about the importance of those things, but how do you get from here to there? Somebody has to be the fun friend.
Well, can I just put this out there? And
you can.
I have always, pretty much always, been that guy.
Which guy?
The planner.
I'm the planner.
Well,
how are you the planner?
I'm the planner for the boys' trips.
Oh,
maybe I got that from
interesting.
You.
Interesting. Well, you are also the planner of pretty much all of our family vacations.
Mm.
I am the planner. This is interesting. We've never really talked about this. I am the planner for the let's get our friends together and go to the beach. Let's get our friends together and have a barbecue. I'm that person. But family vacations, if it was up to me, we would probably never leave the house.
Well, I'm happy to contribute that. But when it comes to boys' trips, I've pretty much been the planner of those across a variety of spectrums and boys, so to speak.
And I want to change the word planner to instigator.
Ah, yes.
Because the planning is one piece, and I don't want to leave people with the message that if they want to try to create some kind of shared experience, it's going to be on them to plan every aspect of it, because it's not always. What I'm talking about a little bit more, and you're this too with these trips, is being the instigator, being yes. the one who says, let's get a group of guys together and go ice climbing when it's 10 below and it's freezing out and we're just going to climb up the side of a frozen mountain. And won't that be fun?
Oh my God, that sounds so fun. When can we go?
Not fun.
Fun.
No, type 2 fun at best.
Definitely type 2 fun. Sometimes it's type 1 fun.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that way.
It's type 1 fun in the hot tub after the day of climbing up the side of a frozen waterfall.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Okay,
you ready?
Yeah.
You actually don't have to climb up the frozen waterfall in order to get in the hot tub. You can just go to the hot tub.
But where's the fun in that? It's so much more fun after spending a day freezing on the side of an icicle.
We have very different definitions of fun.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Okay, so being willing to be the instigator for those shared experiences and activities.
Yep.
What else you got?
All right, so I am a little star-crossed friend right now.
You have a star-crossed friend?
Yeah.
Oh, I know where this is going.
So,
is this you and Eddie?
Yeah.
This is terrible. This reflects poorly on both of you.
So we were supposed to meet for breakfast a couple weeks ago, and I go to the breakfast spot, and, you know, 5-10 minutes, and he's not there, and he's usually pretty punctual, so I text him, and he's like, so sorry, I forgot. He was driving
to Costco
to run some errands. So I'm like, oh my God. So we reschedule for the next week. Fast forward, things are so crazy around here, I can't even get into all the things that are going on, but I forgot that we had breakfast scheduled for a week later. And he texts me like, ha, we're even. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even believe I did that. So we've been trying to schedule it ever since. I texted him today, how about breakfast tomorrow? He's got something. He texted back, how about Wednesday or Thursday? I can't, I have conflicts. So maybe next week before we go away, but it might not be until September. But the point is, one, be understanding. Like, stuff happens. I do not hold it against him at all. Like, even,
you did send
even
me a
that
text
day.
That said, he blew me off.
That was
which had a tone. It was in the moment,
That was in the moment, and that was more of an update. And then you just sort of have to be flexible. So right now, we haven't been that flexible, but we'll make it happen. But I think he's been understanding, I've been understanding. And it's funny, after, like, I reached out to him once or twice, he's reached out to me once or twice, and we're both like, you know, thanks for asking, but I can't. So, you know, we appreciate the effort that the other one is making, which is actually another way to continue friendships. But what we're talking around right now is just like, what's the expression? You know, everybody has secret troubles that you know nothing about, so show them some grace and slack.
I don't think that's actually an expression. I think that's a sentiment, but I don't think that's actually the expression.
There's an expression. Totally not it.
Right.
I don't think that's it at all, but it has that same intent.
For sure. And this actually came up also in the friendship workshop around this idea of holding your friends to an impossible standard. Because here's the reality. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to stand you up. Somebody's going to promise to bring appetizers and show up without them. Not mentioning any names. Right. Somebody is going to... The other day, we had plans for a week to meet two of our closest couple friends at the beach late afternoon, something that we used to do regularly and haven't done even once this summer. And everybody blew us off except one person.
Stuff happens.
So
we're all leading busy lives, busy jobs. So,
you get to be disappointed. You get to be a little tweaked. But unless it's really a pattern or it's hurtful to you or it's a toxic relationship, forgive your friends because nobody's perfect.
stuff happens.
Stuff happens. And that leads to the next one, which is kind of related, which is around resolving conflict with your friends. I have resolved conflicts with some of my closest friends.
You've resolved a lot of conflicts with some of your closest friends.
I resolved a lot of conflicts with the same one of my friends. It's true. But we've gotten better. We resolve much faster now.
Ah, well, that's good. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, even another friend of mine who will remain nameless, of course. At one point, we were just sort of drifting, and it was a little bit driven by me because I was finding the relationship really, I don't know, challenging. And I put a little bit of distance between us. And she called and she said, "What's going on?" And I had two choices right then and there. I could have been like, "Nothing, everything's fine," and really distanced myself from the friendship. Or I could say, which I did, "Here's what's going on. Let's figure it out." Mm. And she remains one of my closest friends. Ooh, dizzy.
You are so good at being open and honest with people. I'm way more passive aggressive. I would have been like, nothing. Everything's fine. Whatever. I guess that's why I don't have any friends.
You have friends.
I have some friends.
You have friends. I think that you could do a better job of investing in your friends.
That is for sure.
I think it's honestly that simple because people really like you. And you have friends who really care about you. And it's your reticence in prioritizing and investing in those relationships is the only reason you don't have deeper friendships.
Hmm. Interesting.
In my humble opinion.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I am working on it, so.
Anything else?
You know, I think that we touched on it a little bit, but I think showing your friends appreciation, showing the fact that you value the friendship.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just saying, hey, I'm glad you're my friend.
Oh, yeah. How many times have you said that?
Oh, at least once or twice in 61 years. I have said it on occasion or expressed it on occasion, but certainly not as often as I should. And I think that I should do it more.
And we show appreciation by listening, by caring about what's important to them, by keeping track. And I don't mean that in a creepy stalker way, but another example, I have a dear friend who I knew was having a very, very challenging business meeting. And I texted her about an hour before and said, "Just thinking about you, good luck."
Yep, that's super nice.
And interesting you say that's super nice, like I'm thinking about that. I actually didn't do it to be nice.
You did it to be supportive.
I did it to be supportive, yes. Yeah. I did it to be supportive. I did it because I wanted her to know that somebody in the world was thinking about her and had her back as she headed into this challenging.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the same thing is, like you said, remembering the difficult days they may be facing and basically letting them know that they are being heard, that you're listening, that you care. What's the expression when it comes to like coaching people or working with people? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I said that one right.
I think you did.
But it's true. Friends really become friends when they know how much you care about them.
And here's the piece of that. We think they know it intrinsically. We think they just know. And maybe they do on some level, but what's the downside of actually expressing it? Because chances are pretty good they don't really know, number one. Number two, it's really nice to hear. Who doesn't want to hear, "I value you. I really value our friendship"? Not every day. Don't be creepy about it. Don't call your friends every single day and be like, "I value our friendship. You're so important to me."
Yeah, that would be weird and creepy.
That would be weird and creepy.
But Once in a while.
Once in a while.
What can it hurt?
Hey, Joyce here, and I wanted to thank you for joining us for today's Weekly Walk podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, we would love it if you would head over to iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. The truth is, you guys, those reviews mean everything. And if you want to learn a bit more about the incredible 99 Walks community, you can visit us at 99walks.fit, or you can check out the 99 Walks Facebook group, which is an amazing group of women, all of whom are walking their way to better and supporting one another in an incredible way.